And it's about that time for the Fish Report. Baywide daily harvest dropped below 2 million for the first time since July 4th. The total harvest is over halfway to the preseason forecast, swimming in at 25.2 million fish. It's July 13th, and I'm your host, Tyler Thompson. Coming up tonight, last week fish pushed hard in districts across the bay that created a sticky situation for processors, and some put fishermen on limits.
Fishermen are also finally off the limits. And right now it sounds like the issue for fishermen is what are they going to be able to sell fish for?
A contest for new seafood products in Alaska is moving ahead this year, and the organizers are shaking things up by adding a few new categories, including one just for Bristol Bay.
This new award will allow for more exposure for products coming out of Bristol Bay region.
Coast Guard Petty Officer Nate Littlejohn out of Sector Anchorage called in with an update to the Not Crazy Sinking and shared a safety PSA regarding vessel safety this year in the Nooshigak Bay.
So we're just asking folks to play safe and not to hesitate to let us know when folks are not playing safe out there. This can be a life and death matter.
All that and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Baywide daily harvest dropped below 2 million for the first time since July 4th. Total harvest so far this season is 25.2 million fish. Total escapement throughout the bay is now just over 12 million and has now passed the preseason escapement forecast. The total run in Bristol Bay so far this season is 38.4 million fish. Average fish per drift delivery was below 1,000 in every district of the bay yesterday. Let's get down to the numbers, starting out here on the west side. In the Nooshigak District, yesterday's harvest of 443,000 fish tipped the total harvest in the district to 7.1 million. That's the third largest harvest in the bay. Yesterday's harvest came 3% from Ingushik set netters, 25% from Nooshigak set netters, and 70% from the drift fleet. District-wide escapement yesterday was 187,000 fish, bringing cumulative escapement in the Nooshigak District to 2.8 million. Breaking that down by river, the Nooshigak River sonar counted 51,700 sockeye yesterday, bringing sockeye escapement in the Nooshigak River to 1,060,000. The sonar also saw 1,200 kings yesterday for a total escapement of 39,900 kings in the Nooshigak River and 49 chums yesterday, making chum escapement 102,000. The tower crew in Wood River counted 49,800 sockeye past the tower before 6 a.m. this morning. Total escapement in the Wood River is 1.7 million so far this season. In the Ingushik River, 5,000 fish passed the tower this morning, making total escapement up the Ingushik River 127,000 fish. In total, the run in the Nooshigak District is the third largest in the bay right now at 9.9 million fish. No fish were caught in Togiak yesterday. The cumulative harvest in Togiak is still 78,000 fish. Escapement in the Togiak District was 600 fish yesterday, bringing the district's cumulative escapement to 14,600. Togiak's overall run is 92,400 fish. In the Naknek-Quijack District, fishermen caught 631,000 fish yesterday, attributed 8% to Quijack set netters, 13% to Naknek set netters, and 79% to the drift fleet there. Total harvest in the Naknek-Quijack is now 8.9 million, the largest harvest at this point in the season. Escapement across the Naknek-Quijack District was 1.2 million fish, pushing the district-wide escapement to 6.9 million. Breaking that down by river. The Alaknagak River escapement yesterday was 247,000, making total escapement up the Alaknak River 1.3 million. In the Quijack River, 536,000 fish escaped yesterday, bringing total escapement in the Quijack to 2.3 million fish. The Quijack River also has an in-river fish estimate of 800,000. And in the Naknek River, daily escapement yesterday was 441,000. This makes the Naknek's total escapement 3.3 million fish so far. Altogether, the total run in the Naknek-Quijack District is now 16.6 million fish, the largest run in the bay by more than 6 million fish. 650,000 fish were caught in Igigik yesterday, pushing the total harvest in Igigik to just over 8.6 million. That's currently the second largest harvest right now. Yesterday's daily catch was attributed 14% to the set netters and 86% to the Igigik drift fleet. Daily escapement in Igigik was 124,000 fish for a season escapement of 1.8 million fish so far. The total run in the Igigik district is 10.4 million fish, the second largest out of the bay's districts. Fishers in the Ugashik district caught 16,000 fish yesterday, attributed 32% to Ugashik set netters and 64% to the drift fleet. Cumulative harvest in the Ugashik district is now 563,000. Escapement in Ugashik yesterday was 124,000 fish, bringing the total escapement up the Ugashik River to 434,000. Adding the 300,000 fish in river estimate in Ugashik, the total run in that district is now 1.3 million fish. Permit registration on July 13th, 9 a.m. to July 15th at 9 a.m. Here's how the fleet is spread out across the bay. As of this morning, there are 1,603 permits fishing on 1,245 vessels bay-wide. That's 887 single permit vessels and 358 D-boats. At 9 a.m. on Wednesday, that will increase to 1,325 vessels, 379 of which will be D-boats. By district, the Naknek-Quijek districts continue to lead the bay in vessel registrations. 42% of the fleet is fishing there, or 527 vessels, 173 which are D-boats. In 48 hours, that will increase to 552 boats, 179 of which will be D-boats. Igigik represents just less than 30% of the fleet, that's 368 boats, 113 of which are D-boats. That will decrease by one boat at 9 a.m. on Wednesday for a total of 367 boats, 113 of which will still be D-boats. In the Nushagak District, vessel registration has dropped to just 20% of the fleet, or 236 boats, 48 of which are D-boats. In 2 days, the Nushagak District will lose one D-boat for a total of 235 vessels, 47 of which will be D-boats. 6% of the fleet is fishing in Ugashik. That's 71 boats, 24 of which are D-boats. In 40 hours, that will jump by almost 100% to 128 boats, 40 of which will be D-boats. And in Togiak, 43 boats, or 3% of the fleet, are still holding down the fort. That won't change in the next 48 hours. 6,700 sockeye passed the Chignik Weir yesterday, along with 3,500 late-run sockeye run. That brings the total sockeye run at the Chignik Weir to 147,107, and the late run to 24,545. Also yesterday, 42 kings passed the weir for a total Chignik run of 381, and 36 pinks passed the weir, bringing the pink run to 360 fish. Daily sockeye catch in Area M was 47,600, bringing the total sockeye harvest to just under 1.2 million fish. Area M had daily harvests of 197 chum, 15 kings, 18 pinks, and 1 coho salmon. This is the second to last day of daily catch indices from the Port Muller Test Fishery for the 2020 season. Indices from today, which we'll have for you tomorrow, will round out the test fishery for the year. Here are yesterday's indices from Port Muller. Station 6 had an index of 32, 4 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 6 in the 5 1/8. Station 8 had an index of 7, 2 in the 4.5-inch mesh. Station 10 had an index of 17, 4 in the 4.5, and 1 in the 5 1/8. Station 12 had an index of 25, 8 in the 5 1/8-inch mesh. Station 14 had an index of 37, 11 in the 4.5-inch mesh. Station 16 had an index of 18, 4 in the 4.5 and 1 in the 5 1/8, and Station 18 had an index of 120, 40 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and that'll do it for the station indexes. If you're impressed that we say all those numbers every day on the Fish Report with no water breaks, donate to KDLG. We'll be right back with more of your favorite niche public radio show, the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
And moving on now to some news updates. Another Bristol Bay resident has tested for positive for COVID-19. The Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation announced Friday that the person was not showing symptoms and was instructed to remain in isolation. The corporation says it has alerted state health officials so they can begin identifying the person's recent contacts. It also notified the city of Dillingham and the person's village. In a media release, the corporation says the person was infectious beginning on July 7th. It did not name the village the person is from. The health aide in the person's village will monitor the new positive case and all close contacts to ensure access to any medical care that may be needed. The health corporation also reminded people that the most important ways to protect themselves and others are to continue to wear masks, wash their hands frequently, and practice social distancing. The new case in Bristol Bay is identified as the number of new COVID-19 infection surges across the state, reaching a new daily high this weekend. At least two fishing vessels in the bay were lost to accidents up to this point in the season. The fishing vessel Legion caught fire last month, and fishing vessel Not Crazy sank last week. The Coast Guard caught up with us today to share an update about last week's sinking, along with a safety PSA for vessel operators in the bay.
We told you last week, Coast Guard Sector Anchorage Watch Standards received a report Monday, July 6th from Alaska Wildlife Troopers in Dillingham that the salmon fishing vessel Not Crazy sank in Nushagak Bay in an area known as Flounder Flats on Sunday, July 5th. There were no reports of any visible pollution in connection with that sinking. The vessel was dewatered while sitting in the mud at low tide, and it was refloated at high tide on July 6th. It was taken to Dillingham, where it is now being looked at by marine surveyors. That vessel is out of service for the foreseeable future, and we're just glad that nobody was hurt or killed in the sinking. While we're still not completely sure what caused this boat to sink, we have received numerous reports in Bristol Bay of boats being overloaded with salmon, and taking on too many fish causes dangerous conditions for everyone aboard a vessel. This is not news to anyone who fishes, but it's really easy to lose sight of just how dangerous that can be when folks are in the midst of a busy fishing season like this year. So we're just asking folks to play safe and not to hesitate to let us know when folks are not playing safe out there. This can be a life and death matter.
Now let's dive into some large loads of fish. The Bay saw a few big harvests last week in three of the biggest districts, Igigik, Naknek, Quijack, and Nushagak. Huge hauls in multiple districts meant that processors had a hard time keeping up. For more, Izzy Ross talked to Rachel Sapin, a business reporter with IntraFish.
Last week, we at KDLG were getting news tips from fishermen that they were being put on limits from their processors, and there was the usual questions about why that was, especially when the run was picking up. You published an article on Friday addressing this issue and diving into some of the reasons for that. And I was wondering if you could kind of walk through what you've heard from fishermen and others so far in the industry and your perspective on these limits that we've been seeing.
Yeah, so I definitely follow up on your reporting as well. But yeah, I was also speaking with several fishermen who were stating that they just could not get their fish sold to Trident and Leader Creek and Alaska General Seafoods just because so much were coming in. It sounded like it was just a busy time for everyone. And it sounds like it was kind of a combination of the run being particularly compressed and also with processing facilities having a few less workers due to coronavirus social distancing measures. So it just sounded like those two issues kind of came to a head last week. But it's actually cool that you called because I just spoke with Monty Peters. He's the manager at Leader Creek Fisheries, but he was just mentioning today that the limits have been taken off, that they've kind of caught up, and that they were expecting this issue to occur just given social distancing requirements processors are following right now to keep workers safe. And the fishermen are also finally off the limits. And right now it sounds like the issue for fishermen is what are they going to be able to sell fish for? Because that's still kind of up in the air. The market seems like it's really down. The product consumers and buyers are really focusing on is canned and frozen versus fresh, which will be, I think, the next interesting issue to watch.
You mentioned several processors. I think Peter Pan was also putting fishermen on limits at a certain point. And would there be any reason that some processors did not put their fishermen on limits? Or is it your sense that the majority of them did?
I confirmed with just fishermen. I kind of follow on the Facebook groups that, yeah, pretty much every processor was setting limits. Confirmed with the fishermen today that Trident even was, at least as of last week, which I couldn't quite confirm till this week. Yeah, I think it was just a trend that everyone was anticipating, just given the coronavirus, keeping processors limited in terms of how many people could work in a facility. And obviously, there have been rising coronavirus cases still, so I totally understand the need to limit workers.
Right. You know, you mentioned the market. What are the major aspects that you're looking at there in terms of what will determine the price? Obviously, restaurants have been hugely impacted by coronavirus. Some people have been pointing toward grocery stores and cooking at home as a way of offsetting those prices for processors. What are the major things that you're looking at?
It's really tough. It's such a moving target. And I think, of course, there's a huge spike in frozen foods that includes seafood. I cover the entire seafood industry in North America. So we also cover some farm salmon in addition to the wild. And even that kind of taken a hit because of food service, which is restaurants being closed or only partially open, and particularly in the United States. So yeah, it's hard because there is, you know, a bit of a boom in retail for seafood, including Alaska salmon, but prices are much higher for fresh seafood versus frozen seafood. And on top of that, one of the processors I spoke with today mentioned, you know, companies are already taking a hit by implementing their coronavirus measures. So there's just a lot of different weird hits to the whole supply chain that make it tough to know what fishermen are going to be able to get in terms of price, despite having, you know, a great season and a great product. There's just some stuff that's out of their control right now. And I've actually talked to a couple buyers as well that work for big distributors like Santa Monica Seafoods. And that buyer was saying that it's just a really weird market just because there really isn't a fresh aspect to the market this year. It's all about frozen and canned, and that just is lower priced seafood in general in the U.S. On top of that, we just have the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, particularly in the United States, where we just don't know how things are going to be open and when they're going to be open.
Absolutely. Rachel Sabin, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk through your reporting and your perspectives on the recent developments in the Bristol Bay seafood market.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love your report, so I'm happy I can contribute because I get so much info from it.
How nice of Sapin to say. In a follow-up email, Sapin said that Copper River Seafood told her they did not issue limits last week. Let's stick with seafood products for a minute here. The Alaska Symphony of Seafood is an annual contest for new value-added products made with Alaska seafood. Its goal is to encourage product development and give winners a leg up when promoting their goods. Izzy talked to Julie Decker, the executive director of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, and Lalani Dunn, the marketing director for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Here's that conversation.
This year is different in a lot of ways in terms of what the market's looking like, how seafood is being sold to consumers, all of this different stuff. Is that changing anything about the contest this year?
Well, we are making some changes, and we're constantly trying to improve the contest to make it more effective for the industry. And this year, we're going to add two new species categories, salmon and whitefish. And this will allow for more possibilities for products to get recognized. And then we're also going to add a new special award, and this should be of interest to your listeners, called the Bristol Bay Choice. This new award will allow for more exposure for products coming out of Bristol Bay region.
Scaling out a little bit and looking at how the Symphony of Seafood is structured and how Bristol Bay is being included this year as a specific category. How is the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association involved in the competition this year, and how did that come about, or what are you hoping to develop moving forward?
This year, Bristol Bay RSDA is helping to sponsor the Symphony of Seafood, and they're becoming a new major partner in the Symphony. And the reason they're interested, Lilani might add to this as well, is the connection between the fact that the fleet has really done a lot to improve quality in the region, and that quality improvement really is like the key to unlocking value-added product development. The improvements in the investment that the fleet has made in quality is now paying off in the ability for people to manufacture new value-added products. I'll let Lilani maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Thanks, Julie. Every Bristol Bay fisherman is essentially an ambassador of our brand, of Bristol Bay Sockeye. And the higher the quality, the higher the demand. Higher the quality, the more likely processors are going to want to use it as a main ingredient in a value-added product. Everyone wins with the high quality. So that's just really great, and that's what's been great in the past years with the fish that's being harvested. And the ability to drive up the demand for Bristol Bay sockeye hinges upon our members' commitment to delivering the highest quality sockeye at every offload. So that's super important, and we are excited to be partners of Symphony of Seafood and to have this category, and we hope to see all different processors and small independent processors put in entries for what can be done with sockeye salmon.
As everyone thinks about the end of the season for Bristol Bay, and as everyone faces a financially difficult situation, where do you see the place of a contest like Symphony of Seafoods, where you're highlighting products? Do you think that the focus this year is going to be affordable products, or where do you see that falling?
Well, this is Julie. I'll start. I think the pandemic has really highlighted the need to diversify markets. That's tremendously important. We learned that lesson 20, 30 years ago when the industry in general was mostly putting salmon in a can. And, you know, we learned that you really need to diversify markets. And part of diversifying markets is the connection to products. And so product development goes hand in hand with that. And this kind of event not only, you know, encourages that, but then it actually helps support people who are doing that work to promote their products and sort of raise them, elevate them out of the rest of the crowd when they're trying to compete on that retail shelf. When they're trying to get somebody to notice their product, whether they're a small company just starting out or a large company with, you know, that goes internationally, you still have to compete to get your products recognized. And this is really what the Symphony can do.
Are there any details that people should know in terms of submitting a product or thinking about Alaska Seafood of Symphony? Symphony of Seafood, I keep doing that. Symphony of Seafood.
So we are getting ready to release our call for product for this year. That basically has all of the instructions associated with how to enter and what steps you need to take. It's fairly simple, but that should be out in the next month, and it's on the AFDF website, so www.afdf.org. I think the exciting thing is this is really sort of an entry point of the first year of a relationship that we're building between BBRSDA and the Alaska Symphony of Seafood in a way that we hope will help elevate Bristol Bay products as well as other quality Alaska seafood products.
Thank you both so much for taking some time to talk through the Alaska Symphony of Seafood this year and some of the particularities and some of the changes and developments in the contest.
Decker and Dunn also included this plug for potential Symphony participants.
You know, whether you're a small company or a large company, grand prize winners for the past 5 years included very small and very large companies the entire breadth. And it really comes down to, do you have a quality product? And if you do, you can compete.
Right. And if there's anyone within the fleet that has an idea for a product but isn't quite sure how to execute, et cetera, RSCA, especially the marketing program, which I run, is open to hear it out and see if there's something that we might be able to do.
We will be right back.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
Yeah, it's just about going to do it here for the Fish Report tonight. But before we take off, let's take a look at the marine weather forecast. Tonight in Bristol Bay, there will be a northwest wind, 10 knots, seas at 1 foot. Tomorrow for Tuesday, a variable wind, less than 10 knots, becoming northwest 10 knots in the afternoon. Seas at 2 feet, becoming 1 foot in the afternoon. From Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, tonight a northeast wind, 15 knots, seas at 2 feet with patchy fog. And for tomorrow, Tuesday, a northeast wind, 15 knots, seas at 2 feet with patchy fog. And now with messages to the fleet, this is from Montana Chick to Captain Brent Cathy on the fishing vessel Independence. Here we go. Hey, hot stuff. Hope you're doing well and able to rest when you can. I finished sprucing up your snow machine today. Have you ever heard of bedazzling? Your seat cover alone is amazing. Don't get me started about the handlebars. Hey, I found a pillow cover embroidered for someone named Uncle Tickle Bunny. Is that you? All my love, Montana Chick. That's all, folks. Catch the KDLG Fish Report tonight on our website. To play us out is Hangar 18 by Megadeth. Take care. See you next time.